Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Jo Ellen.
I'm so happy to have you here. My guest is Leslie Frya, artist that whose work I've seen for quite a few years now, and always been fascinated by the sort of the sense of how can I, I'm trying to make sure I say this correctly, mythology sort of, or perhaps personal mythology, but the sense of otherworldliness and groundedness in your work, which is sounds really airy fairy about the way I'm saying it, but I'll be able to explain more. I'm going to put, and I have to get your permission, I think, to do this, but I have a little WMNF sort of page, and I thought maybe after this, because I didn't have time before, I could put some of your images that you sent me on that. So listeners, later, like tonight, go to, if you want to go to my DJ page, I'll post Leslie's artwork there so you can see what we're talking about in your project at the Boca Ciega Millennium Park. What started, what prompted the idea to put these, sculptures within the environment at that park? Why did you want to do that?
Well, I was responding to a public call for artists from the Pinellas County Cultural Affairs, billed as an artist in residence for Boca Ciega Millennium Park. And all kinds of artists could apply. It wouldn't have had to have been just visual artists. But the idea is to do something that would raise the profile of the park and something creative, something that involves community. So, I'm a sculptor, and my basic proposal is to create these sculptures that are along this one trail in the park, that are I bill it as like a sculpture search. They're hard to find, which will make people look harder at the environment
sort
around
of
them.
Increasingly hard to find. The first one's really easy.
Yeah, there's
and
some
they get
that are
harder,
easy,
little
and there's
harder,
some that are
harder. And then you're gone for 4 days looking for the last five, right? You know, you take a little gear, maybe a scuba mask. No? Yes? No? I thought I read that in your proposal. No?
And then as well as the sculptures, which I've been madly trying to finish in time for the festival tomorrow.
That's my artist.
I'm doing workshops, the tentative title right now is Plaster Sculpture Using Impressions from Nature. And I'm giving guided walks, tomorrow, actually every hour on the hour between 10 and 2, I'm giving guided walks. And also I'm going to do a book and a film about the whole project.
That's what in some of the stuff that you sent me in your proposal, you talked about that you were going to sort of follow the sculptures through their sort of acclimation and existence in the environment. And you had sent a picture. And when I went online and looked at some of the other work that you did, you created sort of a space up in, was it in New Hampshire, that rotunda? And you had pillars in it in Vermont. And, you know, and it was cool because vines had grown up around some of them, but not all of them. And there was a sense of, again, and that's what I really, really like about your work is that it, you can't necessarily say this work was made today. You know, there's a sense of history in that this could be from really long ago, except it's too modern to look from long ago, but it looks too ancient in some ways to look like it was made today. I mean, it was sort of out of time.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that insight because I definitely, one of my biggest influences is ancient art, okay? But also, these sculptures are made out of plaster. They're not meant to last forever. And I love the look of things, like, for instance, frescoes from Pompeii, you know, the way you see them now, parts are flaking off, parts are there, and that will happen to these sculptures, and it will be up to the park people when they decide, okay, enough, the wabi-sabi aesthetic, you know, at some point they will deteriorate so much they'll want to take them out.
Right.
But that could be a year, it could be 2 years, it could be, I've had plaster sculptures outside in Vermont for as long as 14 years, and the surface erodes and gets sort of coral-like and moss and lichen grow in it and so on, and that's fine with me.
I have a plaster sculpture in my front yard of Mercury, and he's now almost all green, you know, and he's been there for at least two, if not 3 years, and he's totally green now, and I'm like, oh, cool, he's green, what's going to happen next?
You know,
so that's also a reason, because then the sculpture itself almost has a living you know, has its own life cycle from being conceived and created and then deteriorating. And I assume in its return to the earth, the materials that you're using are all earth friendly. So it sort of just adds back to that environment. So no matter what, you know, part of it's always going to be in that park, at least for a millennium. And when you were doing the different sculptures, and I mean, I want to talk about some of the specific pieces, was there something you were trying to convey for each specific site that you decide to install them, or when you're like taking a walk through the park, like, la, 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 what do I want to do here? Did the ideas kind of sprung out at you like, oh, I need to have something hatching in that place, or, oh, I need to have something leaning against there? I mean, how did that process happen?
I'd say that first walking around this particular trail, just sites did jump out at me. I didn't know what I was going to do with them, but there were sites that called for something, and I photographed them, and I did 19 drawings of, based on the photographs that I took of 19 different ideas. We narrowed down to 6, and so I'm creating 6 for the park. But so overall, the themes of the sculptures, I mean, there are a few things going on. It's sort of like there's this parallel world going on in the natural environment around us that I want people to tune into more. So these, you know, there are bird women and pine cone women and lizard guys and so on. There's this other, as you point, mythical, imaginative, yet animal, plant-like, imaginary creatures all around us, and to sort of tune into this parallel world, and also the fact that people really do have to look for them. It kind of, there's a certain, you know, sort of preciousness about where they are, and that you do have to try to find them. And I'm hoping that the whole feeling of all that is about discovery, and it's about realizing the preciousness of everything that's around us now, and that we're all connected to it all. So that these are, you know, the one on the announcement card is partially a portrait of my boyfriend, it's partially a lizard. The hands and feet are from his son, Sam, who owns an iguana. And then there's the built environment coming out of his head of, you know, just when you're walking along this path, you can look across the water and see the high-rise condos. So if you were walking along this path, you looked past the mangroves, the water, you saw the high-rise buildings, and a lizard just happened to scurry across your path, you know, you'd be all of those things in that one moment that is right here in this sculpture.
And in a way, this coexistence, you know, is that we could possibly have a fantasy of living totally within nature, but it's not going to happen realistically, you know, that there's a coexistence of the built environment and the, you know, in the nature environment, and then they're blending together. Now, when you have, I mean, the creatures that you've created are so, so alive. I mean, when they're, you know, when they leave you and you put them in the park, was that kind of, I don't know, it just seems like how some people have a relationship with their artwork. I mean, I would be, you know, thinking, especially that guy, I don't know if you have names for them or not, but, you know, that it seems,
John.
You know, that's something that I can see people who frequent the park developing almost a relationship with the individual sculpture, you know, and sort of imbuing it with something. And I'm wondering if you feel like they're imbued with something that you didn't know until they were actually finished and built.
Well, the honest answer to that question is I'm so tired right now. I don't know. I was working until about 8:30 last night installing the 5th one. And the 6th one, by the way, will not be ready until March 22nd.
Can I have that fire
yes.
so I can
but
tell people
five,
about it?
5 of them are ready for tomorrow, and the festival is tomorrow between 10 and 2. Yesterday, when I was installing this very large pine cone woman who's embracing a dead pine tree. That's the one that's in the most public spot, and it's right next to a footpath so people can walk right up to it. And I have to say that yesterday it was the first time I started to feel like, yeah, I can't believe it. This original proposal that I wrote out seems to be working because before, a few days ago, when I was installing some of the sculptures, I'd get kind of, ooh, but also some, ooh, what's that? That's weird. Why are you putting these here? But yesterday it was like,
ooh, that's cool.
And I kept giving cards to people and saying, okay, look, there are five here. There's a little map on the back of the card. Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah, we saw the lizard, blah, 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 blah. And then they went off looking for them. And since I was working in the same spot all day, they kept coming, different people would come back and say, well, we saw three, but we didn't see five. And I said, well, you have to look harder. And so it was actually working. They were,
okay, that's wonderful, excited.
So,
Well, I want to give out some specific information and chat a little bit more. The installation is called Wildlife. And, it's by my guest, Leslie Fry. Tomorrow is Discovery Day and Nature Festival at the Boca Ciega Millennium Park. And the festival goes from the 10 to 2, of which Leslie will be doing a tour once an hour. You are going to sleep so hard tomorrow night. And then I was a little confused, but I get lost so easily that you can't go by me. But Boca Ciega Park is located, it's on Old Oakhurst Road. The address is 12410 74th Avenue North. But really, just either go to the Pinellas County website and go to the park section of that, and then you can go to Boca Ciega and find the park and get directions. Or you can call them at 727-588-4882, 727-588-4882. And also, are these sculptures up on your website yet, or is that coming?
No. Yes. As I said,
that's future oriented.
I just finished installing.
Come on,
one yesterday. But on my website,
you
which
had
is
12 hours between 8:30 last night and 8:30 this morning, Leslie. I don't know what you're doing.
On my website, there is more information about the park project. There's some articles that have been written, but there's also a schedule of workshops that I'll be teaching, which are free, which is part of the artist in residence mm-hmm. community aspect of the project. So my website is simply my name, Leslie Fry, LeslieFry.com. So you will find information about workshops and other articles and so on about the park. And just a quick thing on directions. Basically, if you're driving from St. Pete, which is the only way I know to get there, you know, take whatever, 19, but get on Park Boulevard heading west, and then you'll start to see right before 125th Street signs for Boca Ciega Millennium Park. And then you turn left on 125th Street, and then it's just one block on 74th.
And if you've gone over a bridge, over water, you've gone too far. It's the easy way to know it. Oh, I went too far. I need to hook around.
And there are lots of other activities going on at the festival tomorrow, aside from my, you know, premiere.
But of course, they're not really that important.
They're not the priority. No. Educational, environmental booths. You know, pony rides, you name it.
Oh, I love pony rides. Now, what else are you working on? Because you're never working. I mean, not what else are you working on today? I know you're finishing this, but it always seems that you've got something, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do this next, or I've been thinking about, I want to do this, or I want to do that, or are you in I just want to sleep mode? Oh, wait, actually, let me keep this on you, the information out again. Or, you know, do you do a lot of research? Do you spend time like, okay, I've created enough things, now I need to go read, I need to go find out more? I mean, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, you're very perceptive, Joellen, because not so much talking about other projects, but still on this one, you see there are other aspects of this, as in I'm going to do a book and a film. Which will show the sculptures now and the process of making them, but also how they change over time. And so, but for the book, yeah, I'm doing some reading like Simon Sciama's Landscape and Memory and various other environmentally oriented readings, because I want the book is really a document of the project, but of course I want it to be more than that. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have different art writers who are sympathetic to environmental issues, or it's their main thing, write about the project. But I'm doing some reading for this book too, which will get produced. It doesn't have to be finished until the end of 2007.
I got plenty of time. There's a book, and I haven't read it yet, but I was just reading a review of it. It's a book of poetry, but it was written by a architect, landscape architect, poet. And I just read a review about it in the New York Times book magazine a few weeks ago, and I saved it among, and I was like, I need to find that. So when I find it, I will forward it to you.
Yes.
Because the idea of our space and our environment, and this earlier conversation with David Ingram and Nate Anderson, is that we sometimes use the word environment just to represent, you know, nature, where our environment is always, you know, it's so specific and it shapes so much in unseen ways.
Yes, and, yes. And when I was listening about the movies, I was thinking about the thing of, you know, both your interviews are about art and environmental issues, but if you go to a movie, you know you're going to a movie, or if you go to an art exhibition at a gallery, you know that you're going to look at art. Whereas when, for this project, if you go to the park, you may not know what, that you're going to see any of these sculptures.
Right. Now, one more question, then unfortunately I've got to kick you out.
Yeah.
Is there going to be, or is there now, when people who go on Sunday or Monday or any day after Saturday, is there going to be something like a plaque or a directory or something?
I haven't made it yet.
Right, but that's
yes,
ultimately what's going to be. That so if someone's walking on the West Loop, you know, they don't look and go, am I hallucinating?
Yes,
what's
there,
that thing?
There will be some signage,
right,
which I have not designed yet.
Well, they should be doing that for you. I'll call someone. Well, thank you, Leslie, so much.
Thank
I want to give the information
Ellen.
Out again real quickly. Okay. And I can give this back to you.
Keep it.
Okay,
please.
All right. But if you want some more information, you can call the Boca Ciega Millennium Park. The number is 727-588-4882, or go online to Pinellas County's website, just pinellascounty.org/park, and then look up Boca Ciega, and you can get a good amount of information from me, because I went on that last night to look for information. And I thank you so very much for coming in.